Lord, while the words I speak are my words, may the words that we hear be your words. Amen. Amen. Here we are on the first Sunday after Christmas. Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock was spectacular. There were 70 kids involved in this. And Amelia McDaniel was hustling around, our director of Christian education, spiritual formation, hustling around, kind of making these adjustments behind the scene. There was that two-headed donkey, or I'm not sure what it was, but they were sharing a common vestment or uniform, or one was getting more than the other. And I do believe, David, check me on this, that the baby who was the Christ child actually took a step after the service. It was 1 year.
It was during.
Oh, during. So there's magic. There's magic. Woo! So all that's gone now. All that's gone now. And the question is, what did it mean? What did it mean? And that's a chance today for us to think about that and reflect on it. What it means is that God has a plan. He has a plan for the world. He has a plan for your life and for my life. The Gospel of John this morning starts in the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning, God had a plan. God created each one of us unique, special, different, and for a purpose. And he gave each one of us unique and special abilities and attributes. He gives us the gift of life, and our job is to discern what the plan is, where we're meant to go. How we're to use the gifts and talents that we've got. Growing up, when we establish our identity, how we use them professionally. And when we get to retirement, you don't retire from life. The things to be done, opportunities. What are we meant to do? And then at the last, we give this gift back to God. The great sweep of life. God has a plan for each one of us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. One of the reasons it's so hard to stick to the plan is because of the darkness. Never underestimate the powers of darkness. Those powers that get us off track. Those powers that tell us that we're really in charge of our lives. Those powers that take us hither and yon. But they get us off the track that God intends for us. The powers of darkness are very strong, and they're all around us. And we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. One of the pieces in the Christmas story, and it's a gospel option for next week, the second Sunday after Christmas, before we get to Epiphany. One of the gospel options, and whether Amelia McDaniel is going to be your preacher next week, chooses it or not, because they're options. You don't have to choose it. And a lot of people don't. And it's this, one of the reasons is because it's all about the darkness. And the story goes like this. The wise men seeking Jesus went to Herod and asked him where the birth was to take place. And Herod told the wise men, well, when you find this new king or this new person, this special person who's to be born, you come back here and you tell me, Herod, where the birth took place so that I can go and pay homage to this special person. So the wise men go on their way and they're led to the birth and they present their gifts and affirm that this is the King of Kings, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And then the good news is that the wise men have a dream. And in the dream, they're warned not to go back to Herod. So they go on their way. But what happens when they don't go back? Herod knows this birth's taken place. So he initiates this extermination campaign on every baby that he can find, killing all the newborns in the land, out of his paranoia, out of whatever it is, out of the forces of darkness that are looming large in his life. And the good news for Jesus' family is that Joseph has a dream, and they're warned that Herod's going to do this, and they better flee. So they go to Egypt. And they return later on. That's a story about the underside of Christmas. The forces of darkness are strong, and they've been strong from the beginning. And as Jesus grows and begins his ministry, that ultimately it's the forces of darkness that take him down. The forces of darkness are strong indeed. And for us, the forces of darkness are making poor decisions, not trying to spend time sorting out what is God's plan, what are my gifts, where can I make a difference, where can I lean in and bring some peace and joy and hope to other folks. We get off track. It's easy. It's part of being human beings. And we just have to look around us to see how broken the world is. The forces of darkness are present. They are real. And it's up to us, as we discern God's plan, to figure out ways that you and I can make a difference in pushing back the forces of darkness. Now, a couple other things about this passage this morning from John. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. While we're busy confronting the forces of darkness and struggling to figure out what God's plan is for our lives, we have this assurance. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that God is present with us. God's with us in this life, cheering for us, rooting for us, helping us when we get off track, to get back on track. That's part of the affirmation of this gospel this morning. And then there are the final words in the passage. No one has ever seen God. It was the Son who is in the bosom of the Father who has made him known. So if you want to know about God, you keep looking at the Son. You stay close to the Son of Man, the Son of God. And that means coming to places like this on Sunday morning, developing those spiritual practices that help you pay attention to your life, the gifts that God has given you, how to heal the relationships that aren't quite right in your life, where you can make a difference, where you're called to serve now, because at different points in our lives, we're called to do different things, to be in relationship with different people, to make a difference in different ways. But it doesn't end. It doesn't end until it ends. So the spiritual practices that we develop, worship, prayer, being in community with others, that's important. And that helps us stay on track. But one of the practical, important pieces is this, that each of us has particular challenges in our lives. I mean, life can come at you fast sometimes, and it can send you reeling. And of course, one of the other problems for us, too, is it's like that underside of Christmas, the slaying of all the innocents that Herod does. Do you know that that was part of the Christmas story? We don't pay attention to it. We have a credible capacity for denial, of not seeing things as they really are. Some of that's to protect ourselves, but a lot of it is a false peace that we need to confront. But each one of us, in different stages in our lives, have challenges that we have to face into. And the question, since Jesus is the full revelation of God, is to stay with this question when you're thinking about a particular problem, broken relationship, whatever. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Stay with that question. That's the best way you can work the plan. Yes, we'll get off it. We'll make mistakes. That's what it is to be a human being. We're never going to get it right. We're always a work in progress. It's not over till it's over. But what would Jesus do? Staying with that question. So this Christmas, the meaning is that God has a plan. So work your plan. Merry Christmas.